O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. This weekend, I listened to a new podcast called The Hidden Brain. In one episode that I listened to, the host was discussing four words that get suggested about our nation a lot these days. More divided than ever. He discussed the depths of the differences that can be observed between liberals and conservatives, from the type of food that we like to the way our brains respond to different images. But after all of the discussion of our differences, he then turned to a historian to delve into other times in our nation's history when we've also been deeply divided. When we were forming the Constitution, during the Civil War when we actually did break apart, and during Jim Crow and the struggle for civil rights. This historian talked about these different times and made the observation that the depth and breadth of our divisions has not truly been what threatened us in the past. In fact, he said that our divisions were often healthy, often led us to a better place together. They helped us explore problems and find new solutions. However, he said, the thing that was necessary in order to work through those differences was holding something in common beyond the differences. Differences could be incredibly deep as long as we stayed committed to some greater thing together. This conversation resonated with me deeply, especially as I was thinking through ideas for a sermon for today, for Trinity Sunday. This is a day that is often overlooked or set aside, or at least a topic that's just kind of avoided and not addressed directly. But to do so misses something that's not only at the core of our faith, but one of the great beauties, the great sources of hope that our faith has to offer us in our world. The Trinity is not some abstract doctrine for academics to ponder in a classroom somewhere. This is at the heart of who our God is. And because we are made in the image of God, it's at the heart of who we are and who we as a community are called to be. The Trinity is a belief that is core to our faith, not just because it's unique to Christianity or important to some theologian somewhere, but because it tells us answers to core questions in life: who we are, what it means to be human, what makes life meaningful. And this has incredible meaning and hope to offer to our world today. It's something that our world needs to hear, is longing to hear. When we speak of the Trinity, we usually get hung up on how exactly God can be one in essence and three persons. We parse words. What is meant by essence, persons, modes, etc.? And while I believe those conversations are important sometimes, I love how one of my professors explained that we really must go to the depth grammar. Beyond the terminology of a triune God, we must seek to discover its deepest intentions. The doctrine of the Trinity claims that God exists in fellowship among the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that that very fellowship is God. At its core, the existence of God in Trinity means that the very essence of being is life with one another, life in eternal relationship. This is the essence of being of God, and because we are made in the image of God, it is the core of what it means to be human as well. We were made for life in relationship, life with God and life with others. We know this deeply ourselves. We ache to know and to be known, to have life-giving connections with others. We ache for this because it is how we are created to live, because we fundamentally are a part of each other. That's a truth I think we most often know at the beginning and end of life, in birth and in death. In those powerful moments when we realize that we are not ourselves alone. In new persons created out of bodies, and in that realization that our own body is changed when one we love is suddenly gone, we can know physically in a way that is sometimes more deep and mysterious than our minds can even understand. We know then the truth that we genuinely are part of each other. Life together is the essence of who we are. It's fundamentally what makes us human, and nothing else that claims our time and energy can make us alive besides knowing and joyfully living with each other. This is because we were made in the image of God, a God that is three in one. In our God, we discover that divine being is a life of eternal love, encounter, and connection. The distinctions of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are seen in their connection. But connection can only exist because of the presence of distinction. Relationship requires separate entities. Relationship requires difference. At the very heart of God, we see that difference is required for being. Difference is necessary for life. But this is not what we usually hear. And religion, Christianity included, has often used difference as a source of fear and division. Perhaps now, more than ever before, we must rise above such lies that are at the roots of so much evil in our world. One of my favorite writers, the former chief rabbi of Great Britain, Jonathan Sacks, says, "I believe globalization is summoning the world's great faiths to a supreme challenge, one that we have been able to avoid in the past but can do so no longer. Can we find in the human thou a fragment of the divine thou? Can we recognize God's image in one who is not in my image?" I believe at the heart of our faith, who we know God to be that we celebrate on this day, because Jesus and the Holy Spirit have come into our world among us, offers a resounding yes to his question. In our hearts, we know that difference is actually what makes relationships, don't we? It's what makes life beautiful. Is not the mysterious, the unknown in another person what draws us to them? Usually, when connection is born, it's not a full knowing of another, but rather a glimpse of that knowledge that draws us in and makes us long to know even more. Even in those with whom we share life the longest, we find parts we don't understand. And to some extent, that's the allure of life together. The joy of love is that we long to know them more and more, something that would never happen if we were all the same. Relationship requires difference, and so it is something that should be celebrated because relationships make us who we are. But this is not what we usually hear and see around us, is it? All around us, we hear the call to fear difference. Instead of an opportunity for relationship, the distinctions between us are considered the major culprit of our problems. We're told that those who are different would destroy who we are, will take away what is core to who we know ourselves to be. But when difference is seen as something that threatens who we are, instead of something that allows us to fully be ourselves, it brings forth that most powerful motivator, fear. And we see its destructive effects in our community, in our nation, and in our world. Out of fear, we become more and more polarized, breaking everyone into groups of those like us and not like us, liberal, conservative, right, and wrong. We come up with labels to try to categorize people rather than getting to know them. We seek to build walls rather than tear them down, keeping others out and ourselves in, which leaves us alone. As technology offers us more and more opportunity to know people different from ourselves, it seems that we've used that power to silo ourselves even more physically and digitally, seeking relationships with those only with whom we agree and cutting off other voices. And in doing so, we lose the opportunity for the fellowship for which we were created, because we can never be in relationship with a straw man, with a label, or with a category. Many people, especially those in religion, claim that if we all just realized we were the same, our problems would be solved. And sometimes we buy into it by pretending to agree or downplaying the magnitude of our differences. I think we do that because at our core, we are starved for connection. We long for intimacy. We are constantly engaged and often networking in our busy, driven lives, but most of our ties are weak. So we seek to dampen down our differences and be less of ourselves, hoping that that will make us more desirable for relationship with others. But this isn't what we see in the very life of God, and that's what we celebrate today. If reducing who you are and getting rid of difference was the way to relationship, if being the same instead of keeping any distinction was most important, there would be no need for Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Surely God would only be one, and any distinction would have been dissolved long ago. Instead, throughout Scripture, and especially in the words of Jesus, we hear of this constant flowing relationship, what those in the Eastern Church call perichoresis, the eternal being of God as a dance. It is this dance, this never static, ever growing life and relationship for which we were created. Because we were created for it, because this is what it means to be made in the image of God, it makes us more of who we are. Being in relationship is what it means to be human, to be fully alive and grow into all that God created us to be. And this, my friends, this is the hope of our God that we have to share with our world. We are made in the image of God, but we are never the image of God alone, as solitary, independent creatures. We weren't made to live that way. We are the image of God together, in relationship with each other. The image of God is reflected in us when we live together in communion for which we were created. And communion requires all of us. Together we make the image of God. And that means that we are less without each other, without all who God has made. This is what we celebrate as we gather here around this table. We gather, all created fearfully and wonderfully different, and we share the broken body of Christ who makes us whole together. We bring our quirks and our quibbles, our beauty and our scars, our love and losses, and we come here as the people we have become to share life together, because it is here that we find God among us. But it doesn't just stop here, because God's work is never done. We must go out from here, because our fellowship is not complete. There are so many others out there that long to know the love and connection for which we all were created. They long for it, and what we remember today is that because of who God is and because of who God created us to be, we long for them too. We long for them because we are less without them. We are less without all of God's children, for only with them do we reflect the image of God, do we live into the truth and beauty of the divine being. Only with them do we find full and abundant life for which we were created. So come today. Come as you are, broken and beautiful, and know the joy of this fellowship for which you were created. Come and taste the feast that Scripture promises one day will be shared by all people and all nations. Come and know the love your soul longs for. May you come and be fed so that you may join the work of God to bring this taste of heaven to fullness around us. May you be filled with the love for which you were created so that you can't contain it. And you go out into the world to know and love as you were made to be known and loved. May you go and share the fellowship for which we were all created. May you go and be part of the work of reconciling all that is broken, redeeming all that is lost, restoring all that are alone to the fellowship for which they were made, the eternal life of our one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.